I'm CJ.
And this is Harry Potter Movie Minutes,
the podcast where two friends break down the movies of the Wizarding World in excruciating detail and obnoxious commentary.
Thanks for listening.
Let's go.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
We back.
We're back.
We're doing this. I can't believe it. The final season. El season finale.
And it's so short compared to so many others.
I'm on Duolingo, can you tell?
Yes, I can, because I get the fucking notifications like every other day. They're like, oh, do you want to congratulate CJ? I'm like, no, I do not. No, I do not. Good for you. The fucking owl has been pissed at me for months.
Okay, wait, though. There is a whole thing now where, like, you know, I don't know how much you fuck around with it. I do spend a lot of time on Duolingo, but there are different leagues that you get into based on how many points you accumulate throughout the week. And so the top league is the Diamond League.
I was going to say, are you a diamond?
Yeah, I've only gotten into Diamond a couple of times where it'll be like I had a slow week at home or something. So I'm just like playing it constantly. But then a couple of weeks ago, I made it into like the top five of the Diamond League. And when you do that, you are entered into what they call a tournament, which they don't tell you this shit.
Ooh.
And so if you remain in like the top percentage of the Diamond League for like three consecutive weeks, you either unlock something. Maybe there's another league. I don't know. But so now I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to spend like an hour a day on this goddamn app to make sure that I stay in the top percentage of the Diamond League, because I want to know what happens.
Okay, so that's why I'm getting so many notifications.
Yeah. And this is all after I just said I'm not a gamer. That's fucking hilarious.
I just anyway, that. Like, that's funny. Harry Potter. Uh-huh, that's funny. Uh-huh. Sure. You're an educational gamer. Or anything.
Yes, I want to learn things.
That's admirable.
Put things into my brain. This clip opens focused in, like very aggressively focused in. This is full portrait mode. There, everything is blurred on a single strand of hair being held by Hermione.
Yeah. I already skipped over that in my head because it was such a very intense. Yeah.
So the reason that, we hear Ron ask, are you sure that's hers? Book readers will remember that the last time Hermione got a hair off of somebody's robes during a fight and used it in a Polyjuice potion, she turned into a cat for like a month. So I guess maybe I get that little callback to like, are you sure it's hers? That's kind of funny. True. Anyway, Hermione comes into focus then and she says, I'm positive. Great. No cats in this episode. There are no cats in America. Cutting outside to the exterior of Shell Cottage. We no longer see any shells. There are apparently not shells outside of the cottage. They're all in the fucking cottage. But anyway, we see Bellatrix Lestrange walking up the hill, approaching Ron and Harry. And boy, the squibs were probably confused as fuck at this moment. Of like, what is going on?
I almost was. I was like, what is she? Oh, right.
Oh, right. That's what happened. It is just Hermione under the effects of Polyjuice Potion. This whole sequence, I have to say, is a fucking masterclass from Helena Bonham Carter. You're welcome, Earth. Like, you don't notice it right away, but is... okay, I'll get into that in a minute. So Ron has also been transfigured. He's not using Polyjuice Potion, but like they've made his hair longer and they gave him a goatee that is weird. Anyway, there's a weird interaction here. Hermione asks how she looks. They say dreadful or hideous or something like that. Harry tells Griphook to have Bellatrix Hermione hold the sword and promises it to him if he gets them past the guards and into the vault. And with that, the three, I guess four, of them join hands and disapparate. So very brief stay at Shell Cottage, as we talked about in the last episode.
Right. This plan is just going now. Like,
yeah. We were talking about like not doing anything in the first episode of this season, and now we are going for it. So arriving in Diagon Alley, or perhaps Nocturne Alley, kind of unclear.
I think it's Diagon Alley because I said, dang, they made it so sad looking.
Right. And I think it is because I say, like, it's barren. Like, there's nothing anywhere. Everything's like abandoned.
Well, but we do get a glimpse of the stacked cauldrons that we've seen before from Diagon Alley. So that's why I was like, it has to be that. But dang, they made it grim.
I didn't see that. So you're right. It must be Diagon Alley.
But I did like the detail of the wanted posters with Harry's face on it in the alley that they were in. I was like, okay.
Like a borderline out of focus. Like if you don't really know what those are, you're probably going to look past them.
I probably never noticed it until this time.
Bellatrix Hermione is greeted by someone and she replies, good morning. And Griphook kind of freaks out about it a little bit. I think they made a bigger deal out of that in the movie than in the books. In the books, Harry just kind of, he's already under the invisibility cloak and he mutters to her that she's too cheerful in that moment and it's gone. But here Griphook's like, if she gets us all killed, I swear to God. Like, dude, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, you're going to die.
Spoiler alert, you do die, yeah.
I always appreciate an anecdote from the book, but I do think we probably could have jumped right from like right into Gringotts here. I don't think that we really needed this dumb little exchange outside in the street. Like if we're looking for things to cut, I don't think that I needed Hermione mistakenly saying good morning.
No, and I think it even happens on the street. She says like good morning and it's to another Death Eater that she ends up walking in with.
Remember, he's like, walk in with someone. I think it's somebody else that says good morning, but I could be wrong.
I can't remember. But yeah, it's again, let's just go. Like we're in this plan. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just do it. Harry squats down so that Griphook can crawl on his back and Ron covers them with the invisibility cloak and they're off.
But one real quick note, this is the first time I noticed because I actually think the makeup is really well done in other movies. I feel like the makeup job on Warwick is a little off on this one. When he tilts down.
Oh, you think so?
I only noticed it because when he's tilting down to get onto Harry's back, his neck flaps out, like a mask kind of flaps out.
Oh, interesting. I never saw that.
It's a little loose this time. I'm like, okay. Well, anyway. My next note is being under the invisibility cloak makes me feel drunk.
Huh.
Have you noticed when like
it's no longer like a shawl over the lens like it was in the first film?
Correct. Now it's like
they do something like wonky. They basically they put a filter on.
Yes. And it's like blurry. I'm like, I don't feel well. I feel shaky.
Huh. Well, I don't think that there's a whole lot of invisibility cloak left. So we should be good.
I think you're right.
Inside Gringotts, they approach the counter slowly. This was definitely the first time I ever noticed the bottom of the invisibility cloak moving as they walk, revealing Harry's feet. Like the camera pans down and you're like so focused on Bellatrix Hermione and even Ron's weird goatee that I've never said, like, you can see that the bottom of the cloak is flicking around the way that it would with someone walking underneath it. And you see Dan's feet or Harry's feet. Why do I keep calling him Dan this season?
Yeah, like, we've gotten very familiar.
Yeah, we're besties now. I saw him in Merrily We Roll Along and suddenly we're best friends. Anyway. Yeah.
No, I miss that entirely. I never saw his feet flapping underneath it. That's cute. That's showing, but too, that he's grown enough. Well, yeah. And he has something on his back, I guess, too.
And I'm sorry, I can't get over Helena Bonham Carter playing Emma Watson, playing Bellatrix, playing Emma Watson, playing Hermione, I've got that backwards, I can't even say it, Helena Bonham Carter, playing Emma Watson, playing Hermione, playing
Bellatrix
Lestrange.
Yeah, you got there.
I got there. We got there. It's just, it's so, like, I know that they're doing a voiceover here. So we are actually hearing Emma's voice. And that's part of why it's easier to, like, see her mannerisms. But it's so on.
It's very, like, well done to mimic another actor's portrayal of another actor portraying another character.
Yeah.
Like, it's very multi-layered. And that's very cool technique they did this time with letting Helena observe Emma and then going back in and mimicking her performance. That's pretty cool. And the detail of her not being able to walk in her heeled boots was pretty cute.
Yeah.
I liked it. Tripping.
I just, everything about this is so, I adore Helena Bonham Carter. I think she is such a brilliant actress. And as a human that just gives zero fucks, so she doesn't care about her image. She doesn't care. She's like, this is who I am. Fuck off if you don't like it. And honestly, we should all aspire to that. Anyway, When they reach the counter, the goblin ignores them completely, doesn't even look up until Bellatrix Hermione says that she wants in her vault, at which point he asks for identification. I do need to pause here for a minute because growing up in rural Midwest, I did not believe that this was a real thing that happened anywhere. I fully thought that this was a movie trope, exaggerated for comedy or dramatic effect or whatever. But I gotta say, like, in bigger cities, this is definitely a thing. People working customer-facing jobs who, like, don't make eye contact with you, do not greet you, sometimes don't even respond when you ask a question or, like, place an order. Like, they don't even look up. They just wave you over to a sign or point you in a certain direction. It blows my fucking mind because in the Midwest, like, Jesus, in the Midwest, when you meet someone on the street, let alone right. when you're working in a customer service job, when you meet someone on the street, it's like, hi, how are you today?
Where are you going? Do you need help?
Yeah, do you need any help with that? All right. Well, I made some casserole. Why don't you come by this afternoon? I can scoop some up and put it in a to-go box for you. Give you a little doggy bake.
One of the last times I was in Minnesota, I was shopping and a lady goes, I have a friends and family coupon that I don't feel like using today. Would you like it? Handed it to me and walked off. I was like,
What
is life? Like,
what are you people?
Whereas here, nobody says hi to anybody. And if you do, it's weird.
Yeah. It is. It's really interesting.
I don't think I fully remember this moment either, how long it lasts, where he's like, just looking down, go fuck yourself, Bellatrix. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So when she finally like says, I think that won't be necessary. And he slowly looks up and then is shocked. I'm like, okay.
Okay. I feel like Bellatrix would have responded really aggressively there too, like stunned him or something. Like the actual Bellatrix would not.
She just sliced grip hook's
taken
face.
That sort of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She wouldn't have taken that sort of slight from a being that she considers beneath her. It's weird. Correct. I digress. Bellatrix Hermione tries to be in character, saying she's never needed ID before, but grip hook whispers that the goblins must know that they're imposters. They must have been tipped off. And Harry's kind of forced to act here because Ron just starts to panic.
Yeah.
He's like, real quick. What do we do? Yeah. To be fair, probably would do the same thing. There's like an Auror wizard guard
who's approaching behind them. Yeah.
Walking up behind them. So still under the cloak and with Griphook on his back, Harry steps around the desk and casts the Imperious Curse on the goblin, who immediately concedes and agrees to take them to Bellatrix's vault.
Quick question on that. When did the Imperial Curse charm, whatever, when did it become a fart cloud?
Yeah, it's...
That he, like, sniffs and inhales?
There was a weird choice made here in how to, like, make Imperious visible.
Yeah, and it's like we've been watching these movies long enough. You could have just said Imperio and we got it. And like the little look.
Right, but have we really used the Imperious Curse outside of movie 4? We've never really seen it outside of the spider.
Well, it's supposed to be unforgivable at one point.
Right.
So right, but also I just feel like we've done enough pew pew, we've done enough zap zap. I don't know if I needed fart cloud.
I don't know if I needed fart cloud. I did need a visual effect. Okay. I think that they're right that they needed something to show that it had been cast on someone and they were now under the control of another human. Whether it needed to, like you said, be a fart cloud, I don't think that was necessary. Maybe some just sparkly lights in front of their eyes, maybe even just make their eyes glow. Maybe, I don't know, something to indicate that, because as is true with any like depiction of magic, like, I don't know. I never really imagine magic being visible.
You know?
Like, and so trying to show it in storytelling like this, they are in a weird position.
Okay, to like, make that known. Yeah but even like when Snape and Narcissa did the Unbreakable Vow, they just did the links around their hands. I thought more, because it says in the book that Harry felt like a feeling of warmth or whatever and control down his arm to Bogrod, I believe his name is.
Yep.
Yeah, so I almost felt like even just like a stream of like invisible goop or whatever. Like,
right, but invisible. Him. So how do we show
You're making me lose my argument here. Whatever. It's a fart cloud, okay? It's a fart cloud, and I'm going to...
Yes, we can agree that the fart cloud was a weird choice. Okay. I completely concede there. But yeah, I don't know. I think back to like the second movie when they do the duel and they're like throwing each other around, but there's no like visual, there's no bright, shiny, zappy things that are going back and forth. They're really just like throwing each other this direction or that direction.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I guess in my brain, that's more how I've always imagined magic to be. Like, yes, even things like the protection charm, like Protego. Do you actually see that force field? Do you actually need to see that force field? In my brain, like, no, you don't really see that. But how do you show it if it's not visible? Yeah,
right.
It's a weird... Okay. It's a weird...
We'll allow it for the movie.
Conundrum. Yeah, we'll... I don't like the fart cloud, but it did need to be articulated visually in some way, I think.
Okay. Do we cut straight to the roller coaster?
Yeah.
It's like we're on it now. Like, it's...
Yeah, we're on it. We get to ride this fun little roller coaster.
I said I did not enjoy this roller coaster this time.
I did not. I don't like roller coasters at all. Have we seen this since movie one? I think this is the only... Like, this is like you were saying last episode about things coming back from the first book. I don't think we've seen this.
And since... One was like a cart. Like a cart that you are inside of. This is free form.
This is full on a
track. I
tipsy very... toppy. What the fuck is happening?
I got so anxious watching it for some of this time. It's... I was like,
Yeah, it's much sillier now. It looks like they had a lot of fun with it, twisting all around and everything. And yeah. I don't think it makes a lot of sense, but this kind of plays into... Do you remember last season when we were talking about the rebuild of the Burrow and how I felt like it was a little Dr. Seussy? This feels also in that same vein of like fantastical, not real. You know, of course it's magic, but does that mean that it has to be completely impractical?
Like, correct.
Like, it doesn't mean that they can't think. Like, there's this weird... Yeah, we've talked about this a lot before, about how like wizard fashion for some reason never advanced with Muggle time, fashion. Like, well, okay, well, why are they all dressing like they're still in the Middle Ages? Their technology, like, why did that not advance? Just because they didn't need it, they didn't advance with the rest of society. Like, it's just... there's something weird here.
No, I know what this... I agree one was
in this moment of like, it's why does it look like that? Why couldn't it just be a cart on a track like it was in the first movie,
so we can build it into the Harry Potter world?
Right, we had to make a ride. Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you completely.
That's why
we had to, which isn't... I think it is a ride at Universal, isn't it? Gringotts, Escape from Gringotts, or something like that.
Something, but we had to make it, theme parkish. But it's horrific in the movie. I'm like, I would not want to ride this.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it. I would not be... I mean, not that I would have the money for a vault this deep, but what are you gonna do?
True.
Harry notices that they are approaching a waterfall, and rightly asks Griphook what the fuck is happening. Griphook tries to stop, which is something I only realized thanks to the captions saying that the brakes were squeaking and squealing. It's like, oh, I don't think I ever realized he was actually trying to stop before.
I did this time because he looks concerned when he's hitting the brake.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, you wouldn't know because it's so fast.
Yeah. He's unable to keep them from passing through the waterfall. And just on the other side, the cart comes to a stop. In my brain, in past viewings, like this, like the waterfall wasn't what stopped them, but what was revealed stopped them. Like the cart was like, oh, there are imposters, as if the cart was sentient. I don't know. It wasn't... I never really thought that it was Griphook stopping the cart.
No.
So weird thing to notice. Anyway, so this little... the cart comes to a stop and a small red light like...
I liked this.
Pops up. I like it. It made me think of like tech in Wild Wild West, that Will Smith movie.
Oh, I've never watched that.
What?
I've never seen it all the way through.
Brilliant film.
Is it? It
no, looks awful. And that's why I love it. I only like bad movies.
Hmm.
Anyway. A red light, like siren, starts going off and they are dropped out of the cart, like Wile E. Coyote style. and fall into the abyss.
That was a long ass fall.
It was a long ass fall.
I didn't realize how fucking that would have killed them.
Admittedly, much faster than taking that stupid fucking cart all the way down there. So maybe it was a blessing. Hmm. Once again, Hermione saves the day. She casts Arrest of Momentum to stop them just before they crash into the ground. As they get up, you notice she has turned back into herself and Ron's transfigured face is back to normal. Shit. I did skip back and they have changed already on the other side of the waterfall.
Hmm.
But because of what's happening, you don't really notice it until they're getting up off the ground. Griphook explains that the waterfall is called the Thieves' Downfall and it washes away all enchantments. It also removed the Imperius curse from the other goblin who starts to lose his shit. What the fuck are you doing down here? This time it's Ron who casts the Imperius curse on him to get him back under control. Apparently the Imperius curse isn't all that hard. I don't know. None of them have ever done it before, but both of them can do it easily. Maybe because it's a goblin, a smaller creature. It's not that hard to do. I don't know. Anyway, we get some ooky spooky, very non-specific sounds from the cave. And the group sets about their way, following Griphook's lead. Literally seconds later, they round a corner to find a large atrium filled by a dragon.
I hate this.
You hate it because of the animal cruelty?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you would. this is a Ukrainian iron belly, Ron informs us. Great, thanks, Ron. Appreciate you. You're wonderful. Griphook hands what looks like a double-ended cowbell.
It's, yeah, it almost looks like a goblet, but then it has ting-tings on, like little ting-ting.
Yeah, it's a, oh God, what is the name of that interest? Hold on, I need to look it up. I was going to look it up.
It's an actual, what are you thinking of?
There's an instrument.
I'm like, castanet's not right. Castanet's a little clicky clickies.
A vibraslap.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. there's an instrument called the vibraslap that kind of, I think it was probably the inspiration for it. It doesn't really look like it other than that it does have a cowbell shape. But that's what I think of every time he picks this thing up. Anyway, it's called the clanker. I don't know that we ever get that in the movie, but in the book it's called the clanker. And they start to shake them. And the instrument makes like a really loud ringing sound or a little like piercing ringing sound. And the dragon is like kind of starting to wake up at first. And then when it hears the noise, it starts to cower like back against the wall and it allows the group to pass. Griphook explains that the dragon has been trained to expect pain when it hears the sound. Hermione, like you, protests because of the animal cruelty. But hey, it worked. They got past the dragon. They arrive at the vault and they place the other goblin's hand, as you said, Bogrod, I can call him by his name, on the, God, call me by your name.
I wondered if you were going to go into that. Did you watch that?
I did. I hated it.
Okay.
Anyway, on the door of they put his hand on the door of the vault and that grants them access. Great. We did it. That was super easy. Inside the vault, we see a blast of fire from the dragon as the door vault closes. I don't love the idea of that door closing. Gotta say.
I didn't. Yeah, that made me very uncomfortable this time. I was like, no.
I think I would be propping that fucker open. Anyway, So the trio light their wands and we kind of are able to take in the size of their task because there are piles and piles of gold and galleons and suits of armor and chalices and candelabras, all of the sorts of things you would expect to find inside the vault of a very wealthy, very old English family. Mm-hmm. They ask Harry to like use his sixth sense, essentially.
Yeah, I like how Ron's like, really like it into here? It. Like,
what?
Do you feel it?
Even though, so at this point, they really have no idea what it is. They don't know what they are looking for because we haven't had the flashbacks or we didn't get in Half-Blood Prince, Dumbledore showing Harry Hepzibah Smith, who had the cup, who also had the locket. So like, we're in there. We don't know what we're looking for. We're just looking for a Horcrux. We're going to rely on Harry's sixth sense. Great. Cool. It's fine. So Harry looks around for a minute and we hear that lovely, like piercing ringing that the locket gave off. Great. So we've got Harry's sixth sense here. He confirms it's there and he focuses in on a cup that's high on a shelf. Thank God, because otherwise, how would we have fucking found it? Just then, Hermione knocks something off the surface that she's next to. I don't know if it's a table or a shelf. And it bursts into duplicates as it hits the ground. Ron naturally follows suit with two more items and they do the same. And Griphook explains that Gringotts goblins have added the Gemino curse to the vault, meaning that anything that is touched will multiply, which is actually a really clever defense system when you think about it, because if the door didn't open, they would just be crushed to death by the weight of everything that they're touching.
I liked it. I thought this effect was cool too.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job with this. I love it. The only part that I don't love is coming up. Harry asks for the sword. You probably know. Yeah. Harry asks for the sword. Hermione throws it to him and he basically like rides this wave of multiplying riches upward toward the cup. Everybody tries to stop moving. Obviously, like once the floor is covered, you're never not touching something. So it's going to continue to multiply. It's kind of a weird, anyway. So we get this spooky moment of silence where Hermione and Ron and the goblins wait to see if Harry was successful, because he's fully enveloped by this wave of treasure that he was riding to get to the cup. Anyway, we get this triumphant reveal as Harry crashes through the mountain of duplicates, Kool-Aid Man style, with the cup in hand. So here's the part that I don't like. When he comes out of that mountain, like swinging, we get like, I don't know, matter stops existing. And it's like suddenly, I don't know. Just push, in that moment. Yeah. In that moment, it's just much less believable. It looks more like a ball pit than a pile of very like heavy gold and silver. And I don't know. This like part that, like I said, where he comes out like swinging it. And like you said, he's just able to crash through it. Like it's one of those paper framed things at the beginning of a football game. Remember those?
Yes. As a cheerleader, of course.
So one time when I was a manager for the football team in elementary school, this is a fun little side note. So we did that like long tunnel for all the football players to run through the like crashy paper thingy. And then after the last starter had been announced, all the rest of the team like ran out toward the center of the field. And like, nobody told me to wait until they run by before you try to like leave the field. And so I like start dashing to the side of the field. And suddenly I'm like trying to dodge the football players, but the football players are not paying attention. Plus they're wearing helmets. And so they like can't see my dumb little fourth grade ass. And I totally got like plowed over by a football player. And so I have a weird amount of like anxiety around those.
Right.
And like, even up through high school, I don't know how many of those I fucking did, but I was always terrified of either getting knocked over or being knocked over myself. Knocked over or knocking someone over. Wow. Anyway. So.
You poor baby.
I had a weird childhood. Kool-Aid Harry.
And then here's my other problem. Like when he comes out of it, he like has a cup and I feel like the cup falls. And Warwick grabs it. I'm like, how does Warwick know it's the right one?
Yeah, for some reason, that is the only thing that isn't duplicating. Like Harry had it in his hand instead of hooked through the sword, which like we see him hook the sword through the handle, but then it's in his hand. Everything's really unclear here because like you said, Harry falls shy of the door in front of Griphook and Griphook grabs the cup that's fallen out of his hand.
Yeah.
Out of Harry's hand.
Just knows that it was weird to me.
So, I don't know. We just needed Griphook to get the cup, essentially.
Correct.
And he demands the sword in exchange for it. Harry tosses it to him, and Griphook just throws the cup at Hermione. and he reveals his double cross here, saying that he agreed to get them into the vault. He never said anything about getting them out. Gasp.
And his teeth are like, are cool. The fake teeth that they have on him are cool. And he bares them at this point. I'm like,
We see like I was talking about, I think I went into this last episode where we were talking about the planning phase that we don't really get. And we see like how sadistic and fucked up Griphook is.
Yes.
This is kind of the closest that we get to it, where he's like, fuck you guys. Yeah. Bye.
Okay, so Griphook
uses Bogrod's hands to open the vault door, and the trio continues to be buried by the treasure of the Lestrange vault. Book bitch. They left out the flagrante curse.
Okay.
So
that's what I thought. That's mine, is that we don't mention that. Hi, this shit's burning them as they go.
Yeah. Like, the duplicated items are also supposed to be searing hot. And that raises the stakes so much higher. Like, knowing that as they're being buried, they're also being burned to death.
Yep.
Like, the idea of that moment of silence that I was talking about, where everybody's trying to hold still. I'm like, yeah, try to hold still
while you're burning.
Searing hot metal is pressed against your skin. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
So okay, this whole idea of it just being duplicated and then the vault door being opened so that they can just cascade out of it is like, okay, so this would be a bigger deal if the vault door was unable to be opened. But since it was, they're just kind of pushed back into the atrium. Anyway,
yeah.
So as I said, this mountain of treasure pours out of the vault. Griphook uses the clankers to make his escape. He's subduing the dragon, but showing how completely fucked up he is, he just leaves Bogrod behind to be flambéed.
Okay, flambéed got me. Yeah, he's using his own. Yeah, he doesn't care about anybody.
He's like, yeah, I don't fucking care. He's under the Imperius curse. Whatever. All right, stay back here. I don't care. And he starts singing the wizard guard on the trio, like, thieves behind, like, as if you didn't just assist in the break-in.
As if you're not running away. Yeah.
If you're not, yeah, as if you're not running away from the vault with a piece of treasure. Like,
so he's both using the fact that he's a goblin that used to work there and can be, you know, directing these people, hey, quick, they're stealing some shit, but then he's also throwing one of his own under the bus to be literally burned.
Yeah, he's really a piece of shit.
Yes.
Hiding behind columns to avoid the onslaught of curses being hurled at them. Hermione calls for ideas, and shockingly, the boys have nothing. She says she has something crazy in mind, and naturally they go with that plan because so Hermione blasts out the railing that's in front of them and takes a running leap onto the dragon's back. Cool.
I love that.
She's a boss ass bitch. The boys follow suit, and Hermione explodes the chains restricting the dragon.
Yay.
And it gives a final, like, blowtorch to all the goblins and wizards pursuing them before beginning its ascent toward the light with the trio hanging on tightly. I love this moment. It feels so like retribution.
Yes.
You kept me here and I will kill all of you on my way out.
Fuck all of you. So I never noticed. Oh, sorry. Are you talking about
Go on. What are you saying?
The track of the roller coaster thing.
That's what I was going to say. They really, the only thing they have to thwart is like one cart on the roller coaster.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever noticed it, but the dragon goes, like, crushes it and they fly off it and straight up die. I'm like, oh.
Yep. Why?
Dragon goes, fuck y'all. I'm out.
Fuck your bird. So the dragon then smashes into the lobby of Gringotts a short time later, destroying literally everyone and everything. In its desperate escape.
I did like the goblin reaction to like the rumbling. They're like, what's happening?
And then the guy that just like sits there and accepts his death. He's like,
well, today was my retirement.
About to be a little goblin kebab. Great.
I put in a good time here. Goodbye.
So finally, the dragon rises, crashing through the glass cupola over the lobby. And with a little bit of encouragement from Hermione,
What does she do? Does she, because she does relatio, is that getting the last of the chains off?
No, I think it's like slapping a horse's ass to get it going.
I wonder.
Let's go, dude. Because he's like sitting there catching his breath and it's like, oh, no, we got to go. We got to go. There's a bit of a shaky takeoff here. He's destroying some chimneys and rooftops. But the dragon finally frees itself into the sky over Diagon Alley and out into London.
Yay.
With the trio still stowing away upon its back, soaring away in a dramatic escape.
Yay.
And that was one hell of a chunk.
Yeah.
Aww. I feel like I said a lot of things. I'm sorry if I barged over anything that you had to add.
No, I really didn't have much because I've seen this scene a lot, so I didn't really have that much, but this was the first time I noticed that, oh, that dragon's mad. He just clumps down that shit.
Blood.
was happy for him.
Or at least, you know, burnt flesh.
To quote the Weasley twins, well done, dragon.
Well done. Okay, I have a couple of questions for you.
Please.
What are you going to double cross in order to keep, like Griphook with the sword?
I'm keeping dragon straight up killing people on the way out. Good for you, dragon.
Yeah, I had a feeling you might.
Oh, mine are very simple. I liked freeing the dragon. I didn't like the trapped dragon. But what would you betray to keep?
If our listeners didn't already know, Andrea has a bit of a bleeding heart for animals. There was once a tiny cat named Houdini.
Oh, we can't talk about Houdini. I'm not cats. I'll start crying. Basically, if you plop an animal in my lap, yeah, I'm going to end up wrapping my whole life around
it. Care about it. Yeah.
So,
anyway, I am going to keep Helena Bonham Carter as Emma Watson, as Hermione, as Bellatrix. That's fucking brilliant. I love it. We already know it, but I'm going to ask it because I think it's funny. What are you going to blowtorch like Bogrod?
You know what? Bogrod. Fuck you, Bogrod. You fucking torturing piece of shit. You know what? Good. Good. I'm glad you and Griphook get yours. Fuck you, trapping that dragon. What would you flambe, which cracked me up. Would you flambe like Bogrod?
You know how badly I want to flambe, and I just don't think that the hood above my stove is high enough. Like, I think I'd start a fire, and it makes me very sad. Anyway,
I learned the hard way. Don't do that.
Don't do it. It's just not.
Will go through the vent and make a black soot all over your ceiling, and you cannot get it off. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's not worth it unless you're in the right environment, which the right environment is like a professional kitchen.
Correct.
You can add the alcohol off this flame, like turn the flame all the way off, add the alcohol, restart the flame and let it cook down without letting the flame jump into the pan. Anyway, how are we going to leave out the flagrante curse?
Okay.
Like, that makes this so much more intense. Obviously already an intense scene, but like the idea that their flesh is being burned off of them.
Yes.
Is so much more fucking intense.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. The flagrante, like we said, like it's hard to show things, but also you could have shown like the glowing and then like them sweating balls. Like
had any kind of reaction to
any kind of reaction that we know that that metal is hot as shit. Yeah, no, that you're okay. So yours was a hatred of exclusion again. I love it.
Yeah, that's just the way that I go.
I like it. And it's really fair in these movies because there's a lot of it. Anyway, well, okay. Well, that was another beautiful chunk.
We did
it. This movie, this final movie. I'm going to see your pretty little face next week for all of you listening. If you want to find us on socials, we're on TikTok, we're on YouTube, and especially the Instagram where we post all the fun stuff. Follow, rate, review us, share us with your nerd friends, and we'll see you next week.
See you there.
Bye.
Bye. It's just Hermione under the effects of Polyjuice Potion. Sorry, I just knocked my phone off the desk.
What the fuck? It scared the hell out of me. I'm like, okay.
Did I just break my phone?
Oh, I hope not.
We're good. Okay. Let me try that again. Mm-hmm.